ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Well, you missed the nectar. Now it comes to difficult stuff. This is chapter 8, starting with text 10, and it's all about that interpretation phase. And the verses just preceding were very interesting. It's a description. Maitreya was describing when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam talk, and it wasn't Vyasadeva. Did you hear that? There's different versions of Srimad Bhagavatam, sound Vyasadevas, and they're represented within Vyasadeva's Bhagavatam. That's what it says. The Maitreya describes the four Kumaras by traveling through the celestial Ganges that goes from the, not just the heavenly planets, but all the way from Satyaloka down to the nether regions of the universe. The Ganges travels that distance. Where Lord Sankarshan resides, the God of the universe. And they, along with a number of sages, presented a number of questions before Lord Sankarshan. Lord Sankarshan said, it's very similar to the one that you just asked me there. And with his thousands of mouths, Sankarshan imparted transcendental knowledge to the four Kumaras, headed by Sanat Kumar and then sages. And Sankhyayana Rishi then approached Sanat Kumar for hearing what he heard from Lord Sankarshan, who then received it from Sanat Kumar. And then great sage Sankhyayana imparted the same knowledge to Parashara Muni and Brahaspati Gold. And Parashara Muni, part of that knowledge of Maitreya, and Maitreya is not going to answer the Lord's questions on that, with the strength of that mind. And Prabhupada comments that not only Srimad Bhagavatam existed before Vyasadeva compiled it, but it's in the 1910 and more, because it was older than the Vedas are old. Which is the old. So that means history before it happened. But the Supreme Personality of God had a commission for the opposite of this to come about, past, present, future. So as much as you can describe something in the past, you can describe something in the future. And we did. Like Dalit did. He described the whole Ramayana before it happened. And so, there's another little history that I the text 10, so it's Maitreya speaking to the Guru, and subject matter is the whole long, long list of that question to be the right reverence, the right entry to life. So, it's beginning with, still the signs of the primary creation before Brahma does the secondary creation. The text can begin. At that time, the three worlds were submerged in water. Garbhadaksha Vishnu was alone, lying on his bedstead, the great snake Amantha. And, although he appeared to be in slumber in his own internal potency, free from the action of the external energy, his eyes were not completely closed. Before. The Lord is eternally enjoying transcendental bliss by his internal potency, whereas the external potency is suspended during the time of dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Buddha become Vishwam Idam Tadasi. The Vishwam, the whole three worlds, is submerged in water at that time. Text 11. Just like the strength of fire within fuel wood, the Lord remained within the water of dissolution, submerging all the entities in their subtle bodies, he lay in the self-invigorated energy called Kala. After the three worlds, the upper, middle, lower, middle planetary systems, upper, lower, and middle planetary systems, after the three worlds merge into the water of dissolution, the living entities of all the three worlds remain in their subtle bodies by dint of the energy called Kala. In this dissolution, which is the partial one, the gross bodies became unmanifest, but the subtle bodies existed just like the water of the material creation. Thus, the material energy was not completely wound up, as in the case of the full dissolution of the material world. It's important, and purport, it's important that the subtle bodies are still present because the guna and the karma of the living entities are still there. So in the next day in Brahma, they just wake up, they felt their bones in a state of sleep, and they woke up and they got a body, and they continued as if it was just sleep and they woke up. One of my godbrothers, Krishna Shravakadu, recently had a very serious operation. He had a tumor right behind his jawbone, and it was wrapped around an artery, and to get to it, they thought they had to break his jawbone, and they might have to cut certain tendons so that parts of his body would, the facial muscles would move again. And so, he said it was wrapped around the body, he could die. But, there wasn't a choice, and it operated anyway, but he was able to do this. He tried many other things. It was not reducing, but it wasn't growing, and it was trying to grow. That's 3 years of trauma. So, they put him anesthesia. And we came out of anesthesia, almost lightly, and he had all these crazy things. So they put him under anesthesia again. And it was 48 hours until he came out of anesthesia. And he said, it felt like I just kind of dozed off and there's no sense of time. And I just, what happens to have some little medical procedure that just like you need to check out to see how things are going and you apply that as the same thing as lying down and look up and I thought, well, when did I get to that place? My things are all the way to the top and you know, doing my hours and stuff or something like that. But it didn't feel like that at all. So, during that state, consciousness is in susupti, pain state. There are three states. Awake, sleep, deep sleep. Deep sleep is what they're undergoing. The subtle bodies are there. They're just dormant. But the time energy is not acting, because time makes things happen. Time makes things stop, so time is suspended. Consciousness is suspended. The subtle body is there. The ghost body, the elements of the ghost body are dissolved. But the subtle body isn't dissolved, it's just suspended. Rather than here, no one can go wrong. Then the time energy moves, and then things start to happen again. There's exhalation. Now, that's the universal situation. Anyway, so there's this distinction between partial and complete dissolution. With the complete dissolution, the subtle bodies are dissolved. And not so with the partial devastation. Wow. Next verse, text 12. The Lord lay down for 4,000 new disciples in his internal potency, and by his external potency, he appeared to be sleeping within the Godhead. When the living entities were coming out for further development of their creative activities, actually divine, the energy called Kala Shakti, he saw his Lord's physical body as bluish. I'll pull this up. Before. In the Vishnu Purana, Kala Shakti is mentioned as avidya, the symptom of the influence of the Kala Shakti is that one has to work in the material world for fruits of results. The fruits of workers are described in Bhagavad Gita as mudhas, or foolish. Such foolish living entities are very good. You have to work for some temporary benefit within perpetual bondage. One thinks himself very clever throughout his life if he is able to leave behind great asset of wealth for his children. And to achieve this temporary benefit, he takes the risk of all simple activities without knowledge that such activities will keep him perpetually bound by the shackles of internal bondage. Due to this polluted mentality and due to material sins, the aggregate combination of living entities appears to be bluish. Probably. Such an impetus of activity for fruitful result is made possible by the dictation of the external energy of the Lord, Kala. So we find a different definition of Kala in Bhagavad Gita. It's Krishna. But Krishna, because Krishna uses Krishna's energy. His own sort of shakti. But here, this is the external energy, or at least the external energy moving by the dictation of time, at least that. And again, due to this polluted mentality, that's like, you know, do anything simple so you can impress your mother to your children. And due to material sins, the aggregate combination of living entities appeared to be bluish. That's in the first quote in the verse. The Lord's body was said to be bluish. And in the first quote again, the aggregate living entity was said to be bluish. Well, I'm not going to say foolish, but I'm going to say foolish. Yeah, I'm going to say foolish. Here we go. The Lord laid down for 4,000 new disciples. 1,000 new disciples is one day of karma, and is night of the preparation. The Lord laid down for 4,000 new disciples. In his internal potency, and by his external energy, he appeared to be sleeping within the water. He was sleeping with his eyes open. When the living entities were coming out for further development of their furtive activities, actuated by the energy of Kala Shakti, he, capital H, saw his, capital H, transmit the body of bluish. For one day, the Lord saw his body as bluish, and living entities saw their aggregate combination as bluish. Events. Due to this polluted opinion, due to this polluted mentality, and due to material sins, conducted in the course of further life, the aggregate combination of living entities appeared to be bluish. Such an impetus of activity for cruelty result is made possible by the dictation of the external energy of the Lord. Kala. Text 13. The subtle subject matter of creation. The subtle subject matter of creation on which the Lord's attention was fixed was agitated by the material mode of passion, and thus the subtle form of creation pierced through his abdomen. Text 14. Piercing through this sum total form of the fruitive activity of the living entities took the shape of the bud of a lotus flower generated from the personality of Vishnu. And by his supreme will, It illuminated everything like the sun and dried up the vast waters of devastation. Note the fifth. That's so clean. Into that universal lotus flower, Lord Vishnu personally entered as the super soul. And when it was thus impregnated with all the modes and material nature, the personality of Vedic wisdom, whom we call the self-born, was generated. Amen. Swayam Bhutam Self-born. Swayam Bhutam. The lotus flower, this lotus flower is, wow, listen to this. This lotus flower is the universal Virat form. Or the gigantic form of the Lord in the material world. It becomes amalgamated in the personality of Godhead Vishnu in his abdomen at the time of dissolution, and it becomes manifest at the time of creation. This is due to Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, who enters into each of the universes. In this form is the sum total of all the primitive actions of all the living entities conditioned by material nature, and the first of them, namely Brahma, or the controller of the universe, is generated from this lotus flower. This firstborn living being, unlike all the others, has no material father, and thus he is called self-born or Swayambhuva. He goes to sleep with Narayana at the time of devastation, and when there is another creation, he is born in this way. From this description, we have the conception of three, dash, the gross Virat form, Amen, the subtle Hiranyagarbha, and the material creative force, Brahma. And the fifth one. I could mix our puzzle with some great key effects and then get any more. He uses terms, Prabhupada would use terms commonly in a consistent way, but sometimes he would use them in a different way. And that might give an elaborate explanation over there, over here I'm saying that, and the reason is because there's this difference from that in the following way. He didn't do that. The subtle Hiranyagarbha. That's Garbhadaksha Vishnu, as far as I understand. So he's saying that we have the conception of three. So there's Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, there's the lotus flower, or the gross Virat form, and there's the Lord Brahma, the material creative force, or the empowered incarnation of Rajagun. He's endowed with creative potency from the Vishnu. At 16, Brahma, born out of the lotus flower, could not see the world. Although he was situated in the world, so he did not see the world W-O-R-M-B, although he is situated in the Quirrell, W-H-O-R-L. He, therefore, circumambulated all of space, and, by moving his eyes in all dimensions, he achieved four heads, in terms of the four directions, Lokapur. At 17, Lord Brahma is situated in that lotus. Lord Brahma, situated in that lotus, could not perfectly understand the creation, the lotus, or himself. At the end of the millennium, the air of devastation began to move the water and the lotus in great circular waves. We're already at the end of the millennium, where the air of devastation is moving. It's moving the water. Although it's said that the lotus being radiant, illuminating in all directions, evaporated water. But here we have the lotus in great circular waves, water moving the lotus in great circular waves. Lord Brahma was perplexed about this creation, the lotus, and the world. Even though he tried to understand them for one millennium, which is beyond calculation in the solar years of human beings. No one, therefore, can know the mystery of the creation and the cosmic manifestation simply by mental speculation. The human being is so limited in his capacity that without the help of the Supreme Lord, he can hardly understand the mystery of the will of the Lord in creation, continuance, and destruction. Text 18. Lord Brahma, in his ignorance, contemplated, "Who am I?" So situated on top of this lotus, "Where from has it sprouted? There must be something downward. And that from which this lotus has grown must be within the water." Report. The subject matter of the speculations of Brahma, in the beginning, regarding the creation of the cosmic manifestation, is still a subject matter for mental speculators. The most intelligent man is he who tries to find the cause of his personal existence and that of the whole cosmic creation, and thus tries to find the ultimate cause. If his attempt is properly executed with diligence and perseverance, it is sure to be crowned with success. And there's not going to be success. That's no good. Lord Brahma, thus contemplated, enters the water through the channel of the stem of the lotus. But, in spite of entering the stem and going nearer to the navel of Vishnu, he could not face out the root. Therefore, plug into one's personal level when they go nearer to the Lord, but without the Lord's mercy, one cannot reach the ultimate point. Such understanding of the Lord is possible only by devotional service, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 1855. While searching in that way about his existence, Brahma reached his ultimate time, which is the eternal wheel in the hand of Vishnu, and which generates fear in the mind of the living entity, like the fear of death, Lokapur. Text 21. Therefore, being unable to achieve the desired destination, he retired from such searching and came back again to the top of the lotus, thus controlling all objectives, we concentrate with mind on the Supreme Goal. If one, samadhi involves concentrating the mind upon the supreme cause of all, even if one is unaware of whether his actual nature is personal, impersonal, or localized. Concentration of the mind on the supreme is certainly a form of devotional service. To cease from personal sense endeavors and to concentrate on the supreme cause is a sign of self-surrender, and when self-surrender is present, that is a sure sign of devotional service. Each and every living entity needs to engage in devotional service to the Lord if he wishes to understand the ultimate cause of his existence. I need to know the thing. The confusion is going to be more. Text 22. At the end of Brahma's 100 years, that's a lifetime, when his meditation was complete, he developed the required knowledge, and as a result, he could see in his heart the Supreme within himself, whom he could not see before with the greatest of endeavor. The Supreme Lord can be experienced only through the process of devotional service and not by one's personal endeavor and mental speculation. The age of Brahma is calculated in terms of divya years, which are distinct from the solar years of the human being. The divya years are calculated in Bhagavad Gita 8.17. Sahasrarupa Parinam Tamaha Yad Brahmano Vidhu. Brahma's one day is equal to 1,000 times the aggregate of 4 yugas, parentheses, calculated to be 1,200,000 years. On that basis, Brahma meditated for 100 years before he could understand the Supreme Cause of all causes. And then he wrote the Brahma Sangita, which is approved and recognized by Rishi Kanya, and in which he sings, Govindam Adi Purusham Amaham Bhutan, and has to wait for the mercy of the Lord before one can either render service unto him or know him as he is. So, does that mean 100 years of our time? At the end of Brahma's 100 years. The age of Brahma is calculated in terms of divya years, which are distinct from solar years, and the divya years are calculated. There has to be the time and from this one day, this is 1,000 times the average of 4 years. On that basis, Brahma meditated for 100 years. 100 solar years or 100 divya years? So if it's 100 divya years, that's a lifetime. Any questions? Brahma meditated for 100 years before he could understand the supreme cause of all causes, and then he wrote the Brahma Sangita, which is approved and recognized by the Supreme. Thank you. Well, there it is. Chapter 8. Manifestation of the Brahman conditioning. There's two other commentaries. You see if there's other commentaries, because Gojan's onto his what the world famous reading that it is. He goes through the Sambhavas of the Goswami. And again, Krishna makes up another chapter of commentary. And then there's just like a little time out, and I'll go look things up and come back to him. Okay, here's the section just read. I'm going to read now from Under His Lotus Feet. This is Gorizan's rendering. Maitreya then continues his description of creation from where he left off at the end of chapter 6 of this chapter 3. Garbhadakshai appeared as if asleep, resting alone on Anantashesh in the waters that had previously devastated the universe. At that time, both the material energy and living entities, wrapped in their subtle bodies, wound up within him. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on the conditioned soul's birth in matter. He cites Bhagavatam 10.87.31, that's prayer by the personified Devas, and then states, when the material world is finally destroyed, the individual souls, as well as their dormant material desires, enter the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when the material world is created. Again, these souls become attracted to the various transformations of matter, and the material desires aroused again take birth in material bodies. When the body is born, the bewildered soul inhabiting it also thinks himself born and considers his existence as having begun at that point. Prabhupada describes this conditioned soul's unfortunate mentality. After taking his birth, quote, the souls of workers are described in Bhagavad Gita as mudhas, or fools, such fools living entities are very enthusiastic for work. For some temporary benefit within perpetual bonds, he thinks himself that clever throughout his life, he thinks that he will be a great asset of wealth for his children. And to achieve this temporary benefit, he takes the risk of all sinful activities without proper knowledge that such activities will keep him perpetually bound. Maitreya explained that after 1,000 yuga cycles of lying inside Garbhadakshaya Vishnu's body, the living entities under the influence of time prepare to emerge again and begin creatively motivated action. While the Lord was lying down, a subtle form containing all the living entities' karma suddenly pierced his abdomen. By his supreme will, that energy took on the shape of a lotus stem and gradually grew into a bud, a lotus, which was the Viratru. The Lord's gigantic, subtle, universal form had been amalgamated in the Lord at the time of the previous universal devastation, dissolution. As it grew, it eliminated everything inside of the vast waters of devastation. The Lord then expanded himself as Shirodakshayi Vishnu, the super soul of all living entities, and entered into the lotus. It was on that lotus that Lord Brahma took birth, commenting on Lord Brahma's genesis, as described in text 15, Jiva Goswami writes, to create the material world of Vishnu, by his inconceivable potency, entered the lotus flower, and personally became Brahma. To create the material world, Lord Vishnu, by his inconceivable potency, entered the lotus flower and personally, Swayam, became Brahma. Then, as a potter fashions pots and other things from clay, he fashioned the material universe from the various material ingredients. Now, it could be the empowered incarnation, as opposed to Sakshat, it's empowered, perhaps. Srila Prabhupada comments on text 15 further, which turned the lotus. Yeah. Sitting on the whirl of the lotus, Brahma, who possessed the desire to create but not the ability, could neither understand the surroundings of the lotus on which he sat, nor his own self. Seeking understanding, he entered the water through the stem of the lotus, trying to discover the source. Searching deeper into the lotus, Brahma perceived the Lord's chakra, comma, a devastating time factor. Becoming fearful, he returned to the lotus. Neither Brahma, nor the total past, present, future scientists, can fully understand the complexity of creation of the karma in 17 points. Trying again to understand, but by a different method, Brahma sat with focused intelligence and meditated upon the Supreme Lord, the ultimate cause of everything. Brahma's meditation ultimately brought him success, because he renounced his own attempt to understand and instead surrendered himself into devotional service. And it's been a quote of that explaining that. We have a footnote about this Virat, subtle Hiranyagarbha, and the material creative force Brahma. Here Prabhupada refers to the Virat form as gross and the Hiranyagarbha as subtle. Hiranyagarbha appears in this report. Hiranyagarbha in this report appears to refer to Garbha Dakshay Vishnu, as it does in Chaitanya Charitamrita Ayurveda 251. Thus, the subtle material Virat group is gross when compared to that Hiranyagarbha or Garbha Dakshay Vishnu, universal super soul. He didn't explain this 100-year story. He writes, in due course, the self-born Brahma, having engaged in meditation for 100 years, developed the intelligence to automatically see his own heart, in his own heart, that person he had been unable to see despite great endeavor. Brahma saw the illustrious and beautiful Lord, who was lying at the mountain of green coral on Sri Jamal, the talent of the jeweled and fantastically beautiful. Those decorations of Tulsi region Paragon, so we didn't get that by yet. Well, it can't be that somehow it can't be that he was meditating for his whole duration of life, because after he completes his meditation, composes Brahma Samhita, then he performs the prayer. It's something other than 100 years of his own life, so over 100 years. This is text 10. The universe lay in the water of devastation when Garbhadaksha Vishnu, full of his chit-shakti, with Shesha as his bed, enjoying with his Svarup Shakti, and having given up glancing at Maya, lay with his eyes closed. Vishwanath's commentary. Having shown how the Bhagavatam started from Sankarshan, Maitreya now begins the story. The universe remains submerged in one body of water when Narayana Garbhadaksha Vishnu, whose eyes do not close, since his chit-shakti was very active, had his eyes closed at the time of periodic destruction, or the night of Brahma. He was enjoying with his sort of shakti, having given up glancing at Maya. Next, text 11. Garbhadaksha Vishnu, containing within himself the jivas with their subtle bodies, after having discharged his energy of time to destroy the three worlds, resides in his abode below Patala Loka, within the water, just as fire resides within wood, with its energy concealed. The fourth. What is the position of all the jivas who are populating the three worlds, Swarga and below? The subtle bodies of the devatas, men, and others in the universe reside within Vishnu's body. How? He has inspired his shakti of time. He has caused destruction by his will, having destroyed all the gross bodies of the inhabitants of the three worlds by time. He places their subtle bodies within himself. This is called the aggregate subtle body of the jivas. If you heard this group, look, wish. He resides below Patalamoga in his own abode, within the one expanse of water, by his power which stops water from entering. Since he is not seen by the inhabitants of Maharloka or higher planets, he is compared to fire and wood. Text 12. After sleeping within that water for 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas, we hear differently. 4,000 millennia yuga cycles. With his Maya Shakti, while engaged, that this makes sense. Maybe that's a word. Because the night of Brahma. While sleeping within that water for 1,000 yuga cycles, 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas, with his Maya Shakti, while engaged with his awakened Chit Shakti, he glanced upon the entities with subtle bodies who dwelled within his body when moved to independent action by his time energy. Commentary. How long did the Lord remain resting? Though he is in waking state, with his chit-shakti. He is sleeping with his sleeping maya-shakti. By his time energy, he then became active in regards to the jivas within him for giving them enjoyment. He looked at the living entities from the mata of the non-moving beings who had attained subtle form within his body in order to eject them from his body. Text 13. After the Lord's glance entered the subtle bodies of the jivas within him, the elements within him, in subtle state, agitated by the mode of passion, in obedience to time, took birth and sprouted from his navel. Commentary. This verse elaborates. After his glance entered into the subtle bodies of all the jivas, artat, sukshma, to pull them out, the material elements within him, with very subtle form, became agitated by rajas, according to time, and were brought forth, pushed them upwards from his navel. Text 14. The material elements in time became a lotus bud and suddenly rose up above the waters, impelled by the awakened karmas of the jivas. Having Vishnu as its source, that lotus lit up the broad expanse of water with effulgence like the sun. Commentary. The material element, transforming into a lotus bud by time, stood above the waters of devastation by the force of the awakening karmas of the jivas. The lotus bud had Vishnu as its source. It was like the sun illuminating by its effulgence. It did not depend upon the sun. Light up the water. Text 15, translation, Ovidura. Vishnu entered that lotus of all the planets, which reveals all the enjoyable objects for the jivas. Brahma, known as self-form, composer of the Vedas, appeared within that lotus. Commentary. The lotus, that lotus made of all the planets, called the Viraja, which at the time of devastation had entered into a settled state, now appeared at the end of the devastation in the form of the lotus. Vishnu, as Antaryami, entered that lotus. That lotus held within itself the manifestation of the effects of all the gunas, svarga and naraka, to be enjoyed by the jivas. Brahma appeared within that lotus. It is called self-form because he has no visible parentage. He was previously merged with Narayana in sleep. When the Lord awoke, he appeared by means of the lotus. There is the gross form of Brahma called Viraja. There is the subtle form called Hiranyagarbha. There is also four-headed Brahma, the creator. Thus, there are three forms of Brahma. Bhaktisiddhanta calls this in Sri Brahmasamrita the prototype Brahma. Then there's the four-headed Brahma, and then there's Hiranyagarbha. There's a footnote here. Rupa Goswami, in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita, gives only two forms of Brahma. Hiranyagarbha is the subtle form made of Mahatattva. It is aggregate of the jivas. And Viraja is the gross form made of the aggregate of elements with four heads it creates. According to Vishwanath, the Viraja is the aggregate of the elements and planets and the four-headed Brahma creates. Okay. Text 16. Brahma, situated in the center of the lotus, could not see the universe's planets. Turning his head around and glancing at his face, he retained four heads to see the four directions. Commentary. Situated there, he turned his head around to look for the planets and at the same time glance in all directions at the space because there was no one there. He obtained four heads to see the four directions. Text 17, we're almost beginning. Brahma, take shelter of the lotus which sprouted from the water filled with whirlpools, churned by the winds of devastation, did not at all understand the nature of the planets and the living beings. Commentary, Brahma was bewildered about how to create what had previously been created in order to show the people that his power to create the universe does not belong to him, but is given to him by the Lord. This is shown in this verse. He took shelter of the lotus which arose from the water. He did not know the nature of the planets or the living beings. The water had whirlpools churned up by the winds of devastation. Translation to text 18. Who am I sitting on this lotus? From where did this lotus arise? There is nothing except the lotus in the water. But there must be something else below which supports this lotus being intelligent. I can ascertain. I can ascertain this much. Reflecting in this way, Brahma entered into the water by the tubes in the stem of the lotus, searching up the neighborhood of Vishnu, from which rose the stem to the lotus, he could not reach it, though he approached close. Impossible to use for that bhakti, says the patron. O Vidura, 100 years passed for Brahma, who was searching out his source in the unfathomable darkness. Time, the chakra of Vishnu, which proclaims the approach of death for the embodied souls, destroys the lifespan. In the purport of commentary, time is an ansha of this chakra. Text 21, we're almost done. Giving up his search for Ma, unfulfilled in his desire, then he turned to the lotus, gradually controlling his breath and mind. He remained seated in complete concentration by meditation on the Lord. Commentary, one who gives up pride attains the Lord through meditation by the Lord's will. Giving up the search, he returned to the lotus and controlled his mind, sat down, achieved complete concentration from meditation of the Lord. Text 22, translation. By his practice of meditation on the Lord for 100 human years, there it is. Okay. He attained realization of the Lord. He saw the Lord. He manifested himself in his heart, who could not be seen previously by searching. Okay. Well, that made it a lot easier, didn't it? So here's the commentary. Purusha Yusha means by 100 years. This should be understood to be time according to the calculation of human life in Kali Yuga when Maitreya was speaking. By a mature state reached through meditation on the Lord, he saw the Lord, since later Brahma says, Jnane smano darshitam ta upakshatanam. You have manifested this eternal personal form upon whom your devotees meditate. That's in the next chapter, chapter 9. He saw the Lord, who manifested himself in his heart, whom he could not see in his search previously, for the foundation of his lotus abode. And the next is that form of the Lord that he saw. Seven of Cups 23. Okay. What, why is all this in the Bhagavatam? What are we doing here? What does this have to do with our self-realization anyway? We have this discussion, not the way I just asked it, but why is it important to understand the process of creation? Why is it mentioned several times? Why is it two of the 10 topics? Two of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Because here we are. And how are we going to relate to that which we cannot perceive if we can't relate to that which we can't perceive properly? That which we can't perceive properly has its factual connection to that which we cannot perceive. We have to see the connection. And one can say, God created it. And for someone that's influenced by scientific, so-called scientific thinking, oh yeah? So what about this? What about that? What about that? What about the other thing? Well, it doesn't say that in scripture, so I can't say. So if we're asked to answer the why questions, you know, we don't have the answers in this. This is one of what Maitreya is interested in, why we should be interested in, and why the Buddha is interested in, the activities of the Supreme Good. He said at the beginning, middle, and end, because it's an activity of the Supreme Good. So an activity beside this world, we can't understand how we're going to understand activity beyond this world. Just to help prepare us for, because it's an activity of the Lord, to understand how the Lord acts in the spiritual world. Understand how he acts in the material world. It's spiritual science. All scriptures teach there's a God, and God is the creator, God is the provider. So, the Bhagavatam, the Vedic literature, is a graduate study, very developed understanding of how this takes place. As Maitreya is narrating this, he's saying, you can't understand this without the mercy of the Lord. By speculation, it's not possible. So how can you understand it the other way? It's not possible by speculation. We have to use our reasoning faculty to some degree, but it's not by that reasoning faculty that we're going to understand or debarred from understanding. It's by the same knowledge. I mean, it's one thing I gained just from reading this three times is, you know, the first time it's less clear, the second time it's a little more clear, the third time it's more clear. And if one keeps reading, especially with the guidance of the Acharyas, and seeing how they spoke on the same subject matter, then it helps. There's the primary, there's the secondary portion. We can say those things very glibly, very easily. And how does it all work? So, it's not there in the Bhagavad. If the principle is there in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Kavaroha Matat Sarvam Kavasya Kain, and then the Bhagavatam is the graduate study of that. And what's presented in the second canto is much easier than what we just read in the first canto. And then the other day comes in again, at the end of the first canto. It's not like if you can't understand this, you can't go back to Godhead, but by trying to understand this, it will help deepen our appreciation of hearing of Krishna's pastime in the spiritual world. And in fact, how this is all but a display of his energy. This is connected to him. You may not understand, as it's described here, how all the workings of his energies are going on. But at least this much, the principle that more clearly than we did before, the, all these energies are just very like his act of bringing things into being, and how we bring those things into being through this part of the cyclic succession. Thank you. Well, I'm there.